We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Father, we just come around your word. I ask you, help me today to speak this message how I know you gave it. And Lord, I pray today that out of it, we would walk out of here determined to build new habits in our lives for the new day. And everybody said, amen. Now, I know we're all socially distancing still in our little communities and families. We're good. So if you're there with someone that you're in your community and family, give them a high five. Otherwise, give an air high five to someone that's not too far away from you. Praise the Lord. One thing's for certain. We are living in unprecedented days. Who can say amen to that? Matter of fact, Jesus said this, and he said in the last days, this is the words of Jesus. He goes, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Now, think about that. If that was said 2,000 years ago in the context of last days, how much more are we in last days than 2,000 years ago? Now, I don't know, are we in the very last of the last days? I think we can't afford to think we are, or we can end up sitting at the rapture bus stop. But I think we need to live as if we are. Does that make sense? That Jesus could come back any moment. And here the Bible says, men's hearts will fail them for fear. Why? And the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. I wonder if actually maybe it was this sort of a climate that we find ourselves in today that maybe God was thinking of when he wrote this. That men's hearts will fail them for fear, for expectation of what else is to come. And we think about what's not just happening here in the United States, but around the world with this pandemic. And now with all the issue of race and all the things, can I tell you, God is up to something. God is doing something. Somebody say amen. And just think about the fallout of the pandemic. I actually believe this, and I actually want to challenge you, and I want to challenge everybody online, and I want you to think about this for a minute, that actually I think we are living in days, sadly, where I see too many Christians living in fear rather than in faith. And we have more faith in our fears and more faith in what we're being told than we do in the promises of God. That actually, I just think to myself, we need to make sure. I've made a decision. I'm telling you now, I will be wise, I will be safe, I will be educated, but I will not ever live by fear. I will live by faith in Jesus' name. And I will get whatever I need to know, whatever knowledge I need, but I refuse to be somebody who gives in to the fear. Matter of fact, Jesus said it this way. He goes, when the Son of Man returns, listen to it now, will he find faith on the earth? And I'm telling you, we live in unprecedented days. Today, as a pastor, let me give you my perspective of what I understand the Word of God to be and how people are handling today's climate. Today, we see brother turned against brother, and that is wrong. Okay, I'm going to say that again because it got very quiet. Today, we are living in a culture where I see Christian calling out another Christian. And I'm going to tell you, that is wrong. I'm going to say it one more time because I didn't get a loud enough amen. We are living in a climate where I see Christians turning on Christians, and I'm telling you, that is wrong. The Bible says, he who sows discord among the brethren, God hates. He hates it with all of his heart. And I just think to myself, we need to be better than this. We see a loss of honor in our generation like never before. Now, I know it's a political year, and I know that we've got different people with different views and different perspectives, but the day we lose honor is a day when I believe Jesus could do no miracle in his hometown because of a lack of honor. Can I tell you, we need to make sure we keep honor at the forefront of we are Christians, and come on, somebody say amen. But as a result of all that's happening in our climate, in our culture, we see marital conflict, we see financial hardship, we see people with very little vision for the future. And the Bible says, without a vision, we perish. We see race conflict. And let me tell you something, I am not a protester, I am someone who's a prayer. And I just want to say, when I was asked to be part of the prayer march, I said, yes, I'll be a part of that. Because I will rally with people who want to pray for an answer and a solution for the day in which we live. And I've always said, don't curse the darkness, light a candle. And there are people who are yelling at each other. And the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I understand for our African-American community, some of the injustices that they've seen in recent times, that Bible verse could absolutely be a real verse for them that they feel like, is this ever going to change? And I will join with you and say, I believe it should change in Jesus' name. I also believe the police are good people trying to do a good job, but we need to deal with some of the people who do things that take advantage of that and hide behind their badge and actually have racist hearts, and they ought to be rooted out and exposed. But let's not lose respect for the police who are doing a good job every day. Come on, church, there's nothing I'm not saying here that isn't actually in the context of Scripture. And I actually want to say that there are extreme perspectives today that get the headlines. There's no centered middle idea. It's either extreme this or extreme that is getting all the headlines and getting all the attention. And I believe the answer lies in the middle. And the problem with being in the middle is you're seen to be passive or complicit, and you are attacked by either sides of the extremes. And it's messy in the middle because it means it's going to be a conversation. It means we're going to have to sit down and talk about it. Come on, somebody say amen. And I just know that we've learned some new habits in these new days. For instance, we've learned the habit, listen to this, of wearing masks. Amen. Josh and I flew into California. We were in San Francisco. We stepped off the plane, walked outside to go across the road to get to the car rental place, where we were confronted by people saying, why aren't you wearing a mask? I'm going, we're outside. Well, in California, you got to wear one outside. I didn't know. I'm from Virginia. And I didn't know that you had to wear one even outside in California. And I'm going, I'm learning new habits. I went to Harris Teeter last night, put on my mask, walking into the store. I got no problem doing that. It's all good. We're learning some new habits. Come on, somebody. When it comes to social distancing, I know what it's like just interacting with people socially and just dealing with that. Just like you feel like you're a leper sometimes. You're getting too close to somebody. By the way, we got to be careful. That doesn't create a new habit of being unfriendly and pushing people away. We can still be welcoming and friendly to people. We just got to keep the distance. Amen. We're learning new habits like washing our hands frequently. That's something I've always done. That's a good thing. Pay attention to the CDC. We've got to learn to pay attention to government phases and restrictions, financial preparations. How many have learned how to do Zoom meetings? Anybody? That's a new habit. Dear God, that's my new lifestyle. Online church, there are plenty of people who are still watching online, and you're watching, and we're so glad you're watching today. Keep that habit in Jesus' name. And there are people who need and feel the need to feel safe to watch online. We commend you for staying with us online. It's a new habit in Jesus' name. Amen. Eating out versus eating at home. Now, I've never had more home-cooked meals in all my life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But there's some bad habits we can create. Eating too much because we're home so much. Too much media. Amen. Let me tell you this. I talked to someone this week and I was hearing about they actually in this season have been averaging 2 bottles of wine a night. That's a bad habit, friend. Come on, somebody. Come on, I'm your pastor. And I'm just going to say, that's not a good habit. It's not even healthy. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. Amen. It's like the guy who says, you know, before he was an Italian guy. True story. He says, and I remember him sharing this story. I was in the meeting. Before Jesus Christ came into my life, he's Italian. I'm trying to do an Italian accent. He goes, does that sound Italian, Josh? It doesn't sound Italian. Mamma mia, papa mia. And so here we go. Before Jesus Christ came into life, he goes, oh, I was a terrible drunk. I used to get drunk. And he goes, I used to drink 2 bottles of wine every night, get drunk. He goes, now Jesus Christ come into my life and I'm a brand new Christian. Now I can drink 2 bottles of wine and I stay sober. I go, dude, you're a brand new Christian. You're kidding yourself. Amen. You can pick up some bad habits in the process. I mean, here's another bad habit. If by watching too much media, you can get really negative. Come on, you can actually get depressed. Another bad habit, skipping church. So here's, I want to give you a couple of thoughts. You ready for this? You're ready for this? Come on, every online, you're watching. Come on, Wilson, you ready? Catch this now. Watch this. Isaiah 50, 43. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Could it be that these days we live in, God already knew about it? That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God is in this new day. And God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? That God is in this day. God is in this climate. God is in this generation. And I will make a way in the pandemic and rivers in the desert. God has answers for the social issues we are facing. And we can look at it and say it's a desert, but we can look at the Word of God and say God is doing something new and He's demanding change. Amen. So new seasons require new habits. And let me just put it this way. Here's the first thought. We've got to have new strategies in new seasons. If there's a new season and God's doing a new thing, we can't do the thing He told us to do yesterday. There's got to be new strategies. Everybody say new strategies. And so new seasons require new strategies. David slew Goliath when he was young. Think about it. Most people believe he was just a young teenage boy when he took Goliath down. And, you know, think about that. He was young and he'd already killed the lion. He'd already killed the bear. He already knew what it was to be a shepherd and look after sheep. And now he sees this big giant that's scaring the fool out of his brothers, scaring the whole army of Israel. King Saul terrified. Abinadab and Eliab and David's brothers were too scared, head and shoulders above anybody else. And David goes, "What's wrong with you? Come on, I'll go fight him." And David goes out that day and he fights Goliath. And let me tell you something, but when he was old, he had to learn to let the young men fight the giants. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that. The Bible says that David inspired giant slayers. Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. And no one believed it was possible to break the 4-minute mile until he did. And then everyone broke it because he broke it. David was that kind of guy. David took down Goliath. And the Bible says that as David got old, the young men begged him, "Come on, David, please rest, sit on the hill. Let us fight the giants now." And the Bible actually names them. Did you know Jonathan, the King Saul's son, actually fought, listen to this, Goliath's brother. And he had 12 fingers and 12 toes. And he destroyed him and killed him. That's a powerful example. David had to let the young man fight as he got older. It's a new day for David. He's not the young man he used to be. And there comes a time, even when generals have to stay on the hill. An American Air Force officer told me that there is a time when you have to quit flying and start training pilots. If you can't embrace that new strategy, then you're going to miss out on all that God wants to do. Let me just name to you, other than Jonathan, Saul's son, who was David's best friend, let me name to you three other people. There's a guy called Abishai, and he killed a giant who cornered David. David was cornered. He was captured. A giant got him. And this guy called Abishai came in and killed the giant and saved David's life. There's a guy called Sibekai, and he actually killed a giant related to Goliath. And then there's a guy called Elhanan, and he brought down the young Goliath's brother. And let me tell you, David slew one giant, but his influence made another generation of giant slayers. It may look like there's a whole lot more giants out there, but I want to tell you, you don't have to kill them all yourself. And we got to be people, this Wave Church, that determine that in a new day, there's a new strategy. And I want to make sure we as a church are celebrating and making room for young giant slayers and not trying to hold them back, but encourage them to go. Young soldiers can kill more giants. David celebrated the giant slayers. Saul didn't. Saul despised David. Saul was mad that David got all the attention. David was the opposite. David names them. David sees to it the names go down on the record books of great men and great warriors. And listen what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 21, verse 22. It says, listen, there were four descendants of Rapha and Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. David made sure that the men who actually killed other giants after him got praised and celebrated. And that's the kind of people we need to be. New season, new strategies. I want to make room for the giant slayers. Come on, somebody. So here's the thought. New seasons means new strategies. And you got to listen to this, be good with change. The Bible says that David killed Goliath. But the Bible also tells us a story, and I don't have time to get into all this, but I'd love to just give you a moment. There was just one of the benefits of killing Goliath that David had killed. Catch it now, everybody online, listen. Was if you do this, you'll get the king's daughter's hand in marriage. And Saul sent his men to David, said, all right, you killed Goliath. Now we want you to get Saul's daughter. Her name was Michal. And do you know the Bible actually says Michal was in love with David? Did you know that? She actually deeply and profoundly loved this man. And so Saul, knowing that his daughter loved him, used that romance to get his own opportunity to kill David. And he actually, without the daughters even, she was unwitting of this, said, all right, listen, you can have him. And so here's what happens. He says, go to David and say, there's a dowry to be paid. And so the dowry system is, you know, yeah, you've got a hand in marriage, but you still got to pay the dowry. And so the idea was, well, David, bring us the 100 foreskins of 100 Philistines. How many know those men weren't going to lay down and just let David kill them and take their foreskins? Can we be honest for a minute here? Can we just be real for a minute here? You with me here? And Saul thought there's no way David could kill 100 men. It's impossible. David, in his attempt to get his daughter's hand in marriage, he thought David would die under the hands of one of the men of the 100 he had to kill. David said, let's make it 200. Let's make this really worthy of something of your daughter's hand in marriage. And David killed. Now, Saul forgot he just killed a giant. Saul forgot he killed a lion and a bear. Are you hearing me? So David marries her, and the Bible says David was in love with her. But let me tell you something. Think about this. Michal is the king's daughter. What does that make her? A princess. You understand? That's what it made her. And she was the king's daughter. She was the king's little princess. And the Bible says that at one point when she realized Saul was going to kill David, she loved David. And she said, David, get out of here. My father's coming. But something really sad happened that day in Scripture. It says that when Saul came into the room expecting to find David, and he says, where is he? She then made a decision, I'm daddy's girl more than I am David's wife. And she said, Dad, he told me if I didn't give him a way of escape, he'd kill me. And that was the day that Michal made a bad decision. She would rather be daddy's little princess than the queen of her husband. David was anointed to be the future king. And she actually she was not good with change. She would rather be, listen to it now, daddy's princess girl than the queen of her husband. Can I tell you, and I'm not stereotyping in today's world with men and women and jobs and work. I'm just talking about she made a decision. She didn't want to embrace the new season. She would rather be attached to this than her husband, who the Bible says she loved. Oh, it's very quiet here this morning. Come on, am I talking to anybody? So here's the thought now. Watch this. It says she wasn't able to transition from daddy's princess girl to another man's queen. She didn't make the change. And let me tell you something. Change is inevitable. Look at all the companies that don't exist today that were big in their day because they didn't embrace change. That's my thought. And we've got to get good with change. God is in the change. God is doing something. But if we get stuck in the past and stuck in the way things used to be done, we will miss out on what God is doing today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not even, God works through time, but God is bigger than time. I'm preaching better than you're listening. We're all going to have to deal with change. Come on, somebody. And I just, here's the third thought, is I want to give you some new habits I believe we should create. Listen to it now. New habits means new strategies. New day means new strategies. And we got to get good with change. And here is this woman who the Bible says when she saw David dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. And the Bible says she was not able to have children. She never had children from that day on. Let me tell you something. The day we actually are not good with reaching and empowering another generation is the day that that Wave Church becomes barren. Come on, somebody. And I don't ever want to be a church that gets barren and not reaching another generation. Can anybody say amen? And if that means embracing social media, if that means embracing a new online atmosphere, if that means right now, temporarily, till we get through this, social distancing, if that means a lot more people are watching online, I'm okay with it. As long as you're watching online, praise the Lord. Amen, church? And we're going to get through this, and we're going to embrace all that God is doing. Can anybody say amen? Let me give you the habits. Here's the first habit that I believe we should have, brotherly love. In 1 Peter, it says, we got to add to our faith brotherly kindness. And to that, brotherly love. Do you know, Josh and I were flying on a plane coming home. We left, I think it was out of San Francisco, and we were flying back this week. And we got to Dallas, Fort Worth, and we had a six-hour layover. And because the amount of flights that aren't flying nowadays. And so we went out and just went to the PGA Superstore, as you do, the golf store. And then we got back to the airport for our 6 o'clock flight. And then it said the typical thing, 6:30 delay, 7 o'clock delay, 7:30 delay, 8 o'clock delay, 8:30 delay, 9 o'clock delay, 10 o'clock delay. Then we knew at 10 o'clock, we're not flying out tonight. So we spent the night in the hotel. We got a text saying, your plane leaves at 6 a.m. I go to the airport, 6 a.m. And there I fly with American Airlines to Dallas because that's the most direct flight. And so we're flying home. And funny story, I go to check in. I see priority check in because I fly with them a little bit. I got some status with them. So I know that I don't have to go where everybody else checks in. I can go to the priority check in, which is quicker and faster. Well, at 5 a.m, you want as quick and as fast as you can get. And so I'm there. No one's in the airport. It is empty. And I walk to go through to the priority. And this guy stands in front of me and goes, sir, you can't come in here. I said, yeah, no, I can. I'm checking in. I'm catching a plane. He goes, sir, this isn't for everybody. And this is what he did. He went like this. He went. Now, I was in the same clothes I flew in yesterday because, you know what I mean? I didn't have a change of clothes. I had 3 hours sleep. But the time I got to the hotel, by the time I got up and got back to the airport, I didn't look my best, I'll be honest. I probably smelled a little. And he looked at me like I had no business traveling and being in that check-in area. And he goes, sir, this is not for everybody. I said, yeah, but it is for people who fly priority with American Airlines. I fly priority. He goes, really? He goes, what status are you? So I said, well, I'm gold. And that says gold. And if you're okay with that, I'd like to go through, please. And then he goes, oh. And I said, hey, listen, man, it's 5 a.m. I don't know what start to the day you've had, but it's not a good start condescending the passengers. I'm just here to catch a plane. I just want to get home. And he goes, just go through. So I'm thinking, be good, Steve, be nice. Practice brotherly kindness. So I go to the check-in. I go, hi, good morning. I'm here. I'm just going to get my boarding pass. I'm flying home. She goes, what time's your flight? I said, 6 a.m. She goes, there is no 6 a.m. flight flying to Norfolk today. I said, no, ma'am, there is. Up there on the board, it says 6 a.m. On my boarding pass from yesterday, it says 6 a.m. I just need a boarding pass to get through TSA because they're going to ask me for my boarding. Would you please give me? She goes, there is no flight. I said, ma'am, I promise you there is. And I have a text from American Airlines, and there isn't normally a flight this hour of the morning, but it's the flight from last night that hasn't flown. All I want is my boarding pass so I can get through. She goes, there is no flight. My blood's boiling. I got 3 hours sleep. I had 3 hours sleep the night before. because we had to get up early to catch a plane. And I just want to go home. And I looked at her and I just went, be kind. Because let me tell you something. There's a lot of people yelling at each other. There's a lot of people who are on razor's edge. And I just felt the Holy Spirit prompt me and check me. Be kind. Be nice to her. And I said, ma'am, I don't know what kind of a start of a day you've had. But you know what? I'm just going to ask you for my boarding pass. I just want to go home. And would you please? And she'd maybe stand there for 10 minutes. And she just click, 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 clicked. And finally, I just went, she gives me this card. And as I walked away, it was a departure management card. It wasn't a boarding pass. I said, ma'am, I just asked for a boarding pass. Can I please have a boarding pass? That'll get you through. There is no flight. And I went, okay, thanks, appreciate it. And so as I walked away, I got to pre-TSA and she walked up to me with my boarding pass and she goes, I am so sorry. You're right. You said, you know, it's not a good way to start the day. She goes, here's your boarding pass, sir. I said, thank you. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm closing. The Bible says, listen to it. Listen to this now. Actually, before we go there, can I give you a Bible verse before that? It says in Luke 6, it says, give and it'll be given to you. A good measure. Everybody say, a good measure. So if you give, you'll get back a good measure. Give and it will be given to you. And how will it be given to you? A good measure. How many know that day that was not a good measure coming back to me? All right, I'll try that again, church. How many know on that day, in that moment, that was not a good measure coming back to me? Can I get a show of hands here? Anybody agree with me here? That's not a good measure. And it says, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be poured into your lap? Watch this. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So here's what I think when it comes to how someone like that is treating you. That's not the measure I'm giving. Are you hearing me? That's the measure they're giving, but that's not the measure I'm giving out. The measure I'm giving out is determining what's going to come back to me. So I have nothing to do with the measure they're giving toward me. All I can do is control the measure I'm giving to others. And if I actually make sure that I'm living a life of generosity and kindness, and that is the measure that I'm using toward others, then I know what's going to come back to me is going to be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running out all over. So sometimes when you get somebody just getting all ape on you, you just need to ask yourself, is that the measure I've used? And if it's not, that's not what's coming to you as a result of what you've done. That's the measure they're using towards you. All you got to do is concentrate on the measure you're giving others. Did anybody catch that? I mean, right there, there should be somebody shouting down right now. So here's what the Bible says, and I'm done. Love is patient, love is kind. Listen to this. I love these words. Listen to it carefully. Love does not envy. Love doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I've talked to people in this day, in this culture, in this climate that want to tell me something that happened to them 20 years ago. And they've kept a record of a wrong. Are you hearing me? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Come on, somebody. This is the Bible we're reading. It is not easily angered. It can get angered, but it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It has no pleasure in evil. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails. I want to challenge us. Let's get some new habits. Let's put your name in there. JD is patient. JD is kind. JD is not easily angered. Danny does not rejoice in other people's evil things. Come on. Come on, somebody. Put your name in there. Here's some new habits we need to pick up. Not just learning how to wash our hands. Not just learning how to socially distance. But let's learn keeping no record of wrongs. Let's rejoice in truth. Let's be patient and let's be kind. Love never fails. I believe God, Jesus, the church, the Bible is the answer to the world. Can anybody say amen? I believe with all my heart, I do, that we have the answers. We got to live them out in Jesus' name. some new habits, not just hygiene, but kingdom, Christian stuff. I'm going to show love. I'm going to give a good measure. I will be patient. I will be kind. I will be not rude. I will not be self-seeking. I will not be easily angered. Our church, I think we ought to give God some praise. That's a good word. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for this morning. I want to pray for you. If you haven't yet given your life to Jesus, there's a habit we want to keep. Matter of fact, as I'm speaking, all right, listen to this. Already, right now, before this service goes any further here in this auditorium, online, there are 6 people who've already made a decision to put their faith in Jesus. Amen. New season, new habits, new strategies. Oh, we're learning new strategies. Oh, I promise you, we're learning new strategies. Amen. I mean, there's an expression I have. It's anyway, I won't use it just for the sake of it being misunderstood. It's just like we are learning every day how to adjust with change. Amen. Let's not just be married to the old. Let's embrace it's a new day. Amen. So I want to pray for you today. Everybody, listen to me. Everybody in this auditorium, everybody online, I want to pray for you. If you haven't yet given your life to Jesus, I want to pray for you today. If you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus you should speak of. Steve, I'm not yet a Christian. Steve, I once gave my life to Christ, but I'm not living for God like I once was. I want to encourage you today. Look at me. Please, everybody, look at me. Jesus loves you. God has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He doesn't want you to live underneath. He wants you to live above. I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I once prayed a prayer, but I'm not living for God like I once was. I just want to pray for you all over this building and everybody online. If you're online, I'm going to ask you as well to add yourself and say, I'm going to click that button. I'm making a decision. But everybody here in this auditorium and everybody in every campus, look at me now. Listen, at Wilson, at Greenville, listen to me. Come on. I want to encourage everybody. In Richmond, I want to pray for you. Listen, Seaboard Road, I want to pray for you. Norfolk, I want you to do something in every auditorium. If you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. When we close our eyes, when we bow our heads, if you'll just raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Come on, this is a new day now. This is a new day. Let's embrace the change. Can you say amen? Let's all close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And friend, if that is you, and you say, Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. Would you, in every campus that we're talking to, would you lift your hand, including right here? Come on, where are you this morning at Great Neck? God bless you, sir. I see that hand. Who else would lift your hand high enough? Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Hold it up long enough for me to see it so I can pray with you and I can pray for you in the name of Jesus. Anyone else this morning in every campus? Come on, keep lifting your hand. Keep lifting them. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. On the 4th of July weekend, I want to get right with God. Would you lift your hand right now? Anyone else? Lift it high enough and long enough for me to see it. Church, can we give a Lord a hand for every single person who lifted their hands? Amen. Now, we got new season and we got new strategies. So obviously, what we normally do is ask people to fill out a form to let us know you made that decision, but not in this new day in which we live. We're asking you to please text us. And what we're going to ask you to do is text us to 55444 and text decision and text 55444. Everybody who lifted your hand, everybody online, let us know and we'll reach out to you. And let me tell you something, you don't get saved by your works. Can anybody say amen to that? Don't ever buy into that kind of teaching. It's nonsense. But let me tell you something. The Bible says we are to work out our salvation. We want to help you in that decision today by actually encouraging you. Here are some new habits you might want to learn having put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you text us, please, 55444, we'd love to help you with your next step. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.